Well, thank you for being here with us this morning. We love it when the body of Christ gathers together and we come to worship Him and to give that thanks to our Lord God and for all of His goodness to us as we remember this past year and give thanks for His mercies and give Him praise for, again, for the work that He has done through His people. We're just blessed. This is a blessed place, and God's hand is on Grace Bible Church. He's busy at work in your lives, and those are exciting things to see because we live in exciting times. I want to ask, many of you probably noticed that one of our mainstays is missing this morning. Coach is here normally on the base. It helps our worship team, and he teaches a Sunday school class, and he's very active here. And many of you know that he has a chronic disease in the joints. He's having a lot of trouble this morning, and Sherry called earlier and said he's flat of his back and pain. So I want to ask you to remember Coach and pray for him. He's got the American Godly Heritage Seminar coming up. It's February 3rd or 2nd and 3rd. I can't remember. It's Friday and Saturday of that first week in February. So I'll be praying for Coach and pray that the Lord will help him as his condition is going to get worse. It's one of those things that it's not only debilitating, but there's a digression that takes place. So we want to pray that there are doctors or ways to delay and help that would be the case. But you remember this brother, and he's been a faithful servant and loves the Lord and loves you. So I know that you'll hold him up in prayer. I want to take a few moments, really a little bit short on time this morning, but we did want to, each year we not only take a look back and give God thanks and give you thanks for the ministry that takes place at Grace Bible Church and for all that God has done in our lives. And it's right for us to do that. The Scripture teaches over and over the importance of giving God thanks. And so at the beginning of the year and the end of the year and that transition into from 2011 into 2012, just as we've done each year, we like to remember the past and look forward to the future. And we, as leadership, we get on the knees early and ask God for His direction and guidance and leading for the future, for the year ahead. We realize that we've made efforts to provide a calendar and put together those things, that activities, because we're a smaller body, we like for everybody to be there that can. And so that calendar goes out there on the back foyer shelf if you need one. But be sure and take that and mark it and work your vacations around it this summer with short-term missions or whatever you're involved in and needs to be done. It's for your benefit. But we acknowledge that nothing gets done except what God would have done through His body here. We want to focus and keep our minds on the fact that God has called us. Grace Bible Church is here in San Marcos. He put us here in the Hill Country for His purposes. And there's a calling, a higher calling that God has for each one of your lives. And it involves His will, His purpose, His calling for you as it relates to this church body and as it relates to eternal purposes that God has set forth for us. And so the Scripture says, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before has ordained that you should walk in them. And the interaction of the church body is as such that the Holy Spirit has given diverse gifts, things in each one of our lives that interact to fulfill God's purposes. And so in light of all of those things, that unity that we have in Christ, unity of purpose, unity of perspective, that He is, that we labor, that we strive mightily with His power working in us, that is the essence of what it means to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and a minister of reconciliation for Christ. Now, for some, they're called to short-term missions. Some serve planting churches as Lyle E3 Ministries. We have other missionaries that have gone out and we finance them, we support them in prayer, and they have set up roots to be in the uttermost parts of the earth, in different places, and sometimes in dangerous places. And so we're praying for them, we're involved, and we acknowledge that in the part of the greater plan of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they that's His purpose, His work. But for us that are here, we're to bloom where we're planting. We're to serve and to be mindful that God is working, that God has a plan, that God has a purpose. And isn't it marvelous to see the weight of ministry that takes place in this little church? I mean, next door, I made the first meeting there. I like to step in on the Awana program, but that place is packed out. And these wonderful teachers that are providing these lessons and working and laboring with these little ones, they're memorizing Scripture, and God is working at Grace Bible Church. And there's just so many things going on. Look at the ministries that we have. We have the most amazing teachers. We've got three electives that are taking place here as we come into the spring. And there's a place for you to be edified and built up in God's Word. And don't miss those opportunities. Grow in God's Word. Grow in His grace, for that's His purpose for us in Christ Jesus. So I want to look at the necessity of faith. Last year we looked at the necessity of worship, or how important it is, or the priority of worship. And we need to worship as God's people. When we come here, we don't want you to think in terms of you're going to watch something happen, and you sit in the pew and you watch something happen. We want for you to, when you sing the songs of worship, and when the interaction of fellowship and body life with Christ in our presence, we want for you to understand that it's your act of worship. You are giving to Christ Jesus, you are giving to God our Father the proper recognition and glory and honor that is due His name. And so when you sing and when you praise and when you fellowship with one another, represent Him well in worship. But this year we want to focus and think about the necessity of faith. So whatever our schedule is, however God set things up for this year to unfold, we don't know a lot of the unknown factors out there. There's a very, very serious election that's coming up for our country. There's a lot of uncertainties about our future. But this one thing that we know, God is sovereign. His throne is in heaven, and this earth is His footstool. I mean, He rules. Our God reigns. He is not unseated from His throne. And the difficulties, the challenges, the struggles, the trials, the things that we face this year will not change the fact that our loving Heavenly Father is there and He's in control. What we want to do is be quick to respond, to hear Him, to hear His Word, and to respond to our Lord and God, to be all that He would call for us to be and ask for us to be. You know what God wants of you and of me? He wants faithful servants. Faithfulness is what He desires. And along with faithfulness is the necessity of faith. Now, we have a vision for Grace Bible Church. It involves what ministry is according to the definition in Scripture. It involves basically five areas, but we define it as outreach, ministry, or worship or training, and then service. And we shape it like an arrow. The arrow is that we evangelize the lost, we stimulate the complacent. They move into discipleship ministry. In discipleship ministry, the believer learns through the teaching of God's Word. He fellowships with other believers. That's God's grace and God's provision in the church body. So teaching and fellowship, and then along with that is worship, learning to worship God. Those three aspects are designed for you. And so all of the Sunday school classes, all of the programs that we offer in church are designed with that vision, that purpose in mind, to disciple, to train believers. And then beyond that is the point of the arrow. And that is training for service, equipping for ministry, so that we're not just feeding, we're not just taking in, but we're giving out. And that's the process of God's grace. He gives, and that grace goes through you to others as ministers of reconciliation. And so the head of the arrow represents the service. It's the edge. It's where the rubber meets the road, and it's the goal and the training for which we have for all of the ministries at Grace Bible Church. So that's basically a view of our ministry. But I provided for you some verses here, Colossians 1:28 and 29. And I don't want you to, if you will hold that off or mute it, Lori, I don't want them to see it. You know why? Because we just memorized it. And so what I'd like is to give someone an opportunity to say it. Okay? This is Colossians 1:28. We proclaim. Okay, let's say it together then. Without the overhead, we're going to say it together. I want to hear some other voices than mine. Okay, here we go. Colossians 1:28. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that every man may be, we may present every man complete in Christ. Okay, but let's go on, because we have a scripture that we memorized this week. For this purpose, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. We need to memorize that, because that is the heart of ministry. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man. From this pulpit and from your teachers and from the leadership of this church, there's teaching that goes out. Teaching and admonishment. There's admonishment as well. It's an important aspect of ministry. In fact, it's at the very heart and center of what Grace Bible Church is all about. It's what is necessary. It's what is important from God's Word. I had another verse here for you, Ephesians 4:11 through 13. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of saints. Is that the way you look at your church? That's the way the Scripture says the church should be. There are pastors and teachers. There were the evangelists, the apostles. All that has been given in God's Word was there for the equipping of saints. Okay? For the work of service. Did you realize that? God doesn't want you sitting on the pew and showing up on Sunday. He wants you involved in the work of his service. In fact, that's what he's called you to. And so laying hold of those purposes for which God has for you is the essence of why you're here. It's why he didn't take you home when he gave you salvation in Jesus Christ. He left you here to be his ambassador and learn those ways that God would equip you for the work of service, to the building up of the body. Did you realize that it's within God's purposes? And there's an overall body of Christ, but there's a local church that everyone is called to in the body of Christ, and there's a building up, there's a working there, and an interaction which our service is involved in. Yeah, there's a dynamic there that takes place. that the work of service to the building up of the church until we all attain to the unity of the faith, there's a goal, a unity, a focus that we have as God's people. And the knowledge of the Son of God. We're growing in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't he an awesome person to grow in knowledge of? Don't you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And don't you want to know him in a deeper way? And that's our goal. That's our purpose. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's a fullness in Christ that you can't get. There's a satisfaction that you can't find anywhere else. You can look for it and you can search for it. But the Scripture says death and Hades are never full, and so the eyes of men are never satisfied. You're going to seek in your foolishness for some satisfaction outside of God's will, His purposes, His calling, His design for your life, and you'll never find it. It'll always be futility. It'll always be emptiness. There will never be what God intends to be in your life, the fullness and the satisfaction that Jesus Christ longs to give to you. It's only found in Him. There's a fullness in Christ, a satisfaction that in right relationship we have as God's people with Him. And there's another verse here, and I'd like for you actually to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This verse was the theme verse of my seminary, and I just got a wonderful plaque for Christmas. It goes on my desk. You can look at it in there. But at the bottom of it is that little phrase there, preach the word. And I love it. That's as you go to Dallas Seminary there in Dallas, right there on in the front of the building is this big, it's a sculpture, a thing that says, preach the word. You know, it's got this right in front on the front face of the seminary. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. But let's begin with verse 1 there. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. And this is Paul speaking to his disciple Timothy. And of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And by his appearing at his kingdom, preach the word. So it is the heart and center of what Paul wanted to communicate and pass on to Timothy and other disciples that follow him. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Now, Natalie, she just went to Mexico as a short-term mission, and she didn't know what she was getting into. But what this admonition is be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means? It means in convenient times and inconvenient times, be ready to preach the word, to teach. And Natalie shared about a devotion that she threw the issues of communication between English and Spanish. She didn't know that she had on Thursday, but her devotion that morning was there. She had spent time with the Lord, and so it's just an unfolding in season and out of season. Though she hadn't prepared, but if she had prepared, she's ready. And if she wasn't prepared, she's ready. That's the way God wants His people to be. Be ready for the opportunities, for you don't know when it comes. And there are divine opportunities that God gives to God's people. Divine opportunities. When you're walking along, when you're in the grocery store, when you're at the gym working out, there are conversations that take place. There are divine opportunities that God in His sovereignty provides for those who are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, those who are ministers of reconciliation, those who have been called as His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before has ordained for you to walk in them. Do you think that God prepares our lives? Do you think that He prepares you for that in His workmanship? Isn't that what it's talking about? He prepares you for those things to which He is called. What He looks for, what He asks for is faithful people. People that are trustworthy. People that have made decisions. I will serve Him. I will get equipped. I'll take the time and do the disciplines. I'll learn God's Word. I'll do what's necessary to get equipped to be ready in season, out of season. Look back at the verse there. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, let's just read on, because I want to come back to this reprove, exhort, rebuke with great patience and instruction, because you realize this needs to go on in the body of Christ. In fact, if you're going to a church where you're not reproved at times, you're not exhorted, you're not corrected, and God's Word is not correcting you, then you're in a wrong place. If it's not happening here, you need to find some place where it is happening. But if you're in the right place, God is chastening you. He's working in your life. He's conforming you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's always work there for Him to do. And godly people that love you, a church that is faithful to God's calling, is going to at times rebuke you, at times exhort you, at times correct you. And it should come from not from the authority of an individual, but from the authority of God's Word, the necessary things for you to move on in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. We live in a time that there's no greater fulfillment of exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about right here and right now. There are places where the prosperity theology is taught, where word of faith theology, which is basically sculpting your world into what you believe you think it should be by getting God to be some kind of genie in the lamp, and you talk Him into making your world the way that you think your world wants to be, and in a very real sense, man becoming autonomous God. And it's wrong. It's false teaching. It's having the ears tickled. It's hearing what we want to hear. It's not receiving the exhortation, the rebuke, the reproof that God's Word gives. And it's a challenge. We live in a world and a culture that is pampered. And, we must embrace the reality, the understanding, and a necessity for embracing God's Word. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. That's the work of ministry. But let's move on and look at for a few moments at our focus for 12, the necessity of faith. What is necessary for God's people is that we trust God. Two things are necessary in our journey with Him, are necessary in our walk. We must trust God. And I believe that we're looking at a year in front of us that may have some special challenges for us. We're in troubled times. Our country is in danger. The very roots and essence of where this nation is being moved. And from my perspective, being moved in a poor direction, in a sad direction. And unfortunately, we do not have leadership. There's a disconnect from God's Word, from truth, that is a danger to us. And we need to be vigilant as God's people. But mostly, we need to have faith. We need to trust God. And we need to look to our Almighty God. And we need to pray that our country might prayerfully come to Him in repentance, and turn to God's Word, in obedience to God's Word. But that's not going to happen if we don't speak the truth, if we don't exhort, reprove, and rebuke when necessary. It's necessary. It's needful. So we're to trust God. There must be a response to God's Word. There's two points that I want to make. There must be a response to the Word, and there must be an application to the Word, in order for us to keep that necessary focus on faith and walking with God, what it means to trust God. So don't check out on me here. Two things: the response to the Word and the application of God's Word in your life is essential. If we want to move on, if we want to represent Him, if we want to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, let's look at it. Number one, the response of faith must be in accordance with God's Word. Again, if you're not being taught the Scripture, if you're not being equipped as saints for the work of service, then you need to be. Make that time with your morning devotional a regular thing, as Natalie discovered there. There's an out-of-season time for an opportunity to share with people in Mexico or wherever God may have you. Be ready in season and out of season and respond in your faith in accordance to God's Word. Faith is, in the notes here, faith is dependence upon His divine attributes. I want to make a point here. It is based, next again in your notes, it is based on God's eternal existence and His character. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is," or that word could be translated, that's a to be verb. And it's interesting, it reads strictly, "that is." And it's speaking of God. It's speaking of His eternal existence. That He is. That He exists. And that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, a rewarder is one who you can count on to pay a full wage. One who properly and faithfully pays the reward, the wage that is owed. And God is a rewarder, the Scripture says, of those who seek Him. So faith is based upon God's eternal existence and His character. God's eternal existence and His character. His attributes are something that we depend on. His loving kindness, His mercy, those things which He has directed to you and expressed to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God desires to give you life. And I want you to think in terms, because we're going to come into this next week in Hebrews chapter 3. But that eternal life is dynamic as well. When you're given eternal life, it's eternal. It can't be eternal life unless it's eternal. So when God gives that gift to you, it is an eternal gift. But there's a dynamic to eternal life. There is an opportunity in the way that you live to embrace that which is temporal and that which passes away, or to embrace, to pursue, to seek after, and to lay hold of that which is eternal. That which it will last. That dynamic of your eternal life is operated upon by faith. When God's will becomes your will and they are one, and God's purposes is worked through you, "For this purpose I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works through me." That's what the Apostle Paul said. That's what he meant for you and for me. And when that dynamic takes place, there is an active embracing of faith, of eternal life. And there's an expansion of that which God intends for His people. It's what He longed for and what He seeks for when He saved you, when He brought you to Himself. And God, you know what God wants? I'm getting short on time here, but God, He wants to have faithful people that He can expand His blessing and His goodness and the pleasures of eternal life in our lives. He longs for you and me. And so I have an application and a challenge for you in light of these verses, and that is that there's got to be a volitional decision in your heart and your life. Okay? We talk about at Grace Bible Church, we teach God's Word. But there's got to be a response of faith that must be in accordance with His Word. And you know what I'm saying? I realize I'm looking out upon a group of people that the Bible defines you, describes you as being sheep, dirty, got problems with sins, got different areas that you have to look at on a daily basis if you could, you would correct it and you'd fix it. And you can pull your hair out and you can try all the different gymnastics of self-righteous promotion and religion, and none of it works. But God has a plan and a design, and He longs for you to be conformed to it, the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, He's called you for it. And I'm confident with the Apostle Paul that he that has begun a good work within you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But you know what God wants? He doesn't want you to try to clean yourself up and try to present yourself to Him as though you could some way be presentable to a holy and perfect and righteous God. You can't. What He wants for you to do is to make the decision in your heart and life. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm pursuing Him and Him alone. I'm done. I'm finished with the things that replace Him, with the pursuits that cannot fulfill and cannot satisfy. I'm seeking Him and Him alone, His will for my life, His purposes. It's a decision. It's a decision that each one of us can make. And at Grace Bible Church right here, this year, in 2012, with all of the things that might happen in our country and our future, we could have a group of people that have decided in their heart, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the cost, whatever it takes. And there's a decision that on the authority of His Word, I will do what He says to do. Okay? You can make that decision. It's something that God calls you to and that God wants you to do. Now, the rest of it, all the cleaning up and all of the muck that we have to look at in our lives and deal with, God is able to deal with that. And what He wants you to do is entrust yourself to Him. Entrust yourself to His Word. And He will do that work of grace in your life. He has begun the good work. He will conform you to the image of His Son. He will do what you cannot do. But He wants for you to trust Him. To trust and obey. And that obedience is a decision. It's a personal decision in our heart, in our life. I will obey. I'll step out. I'm determined that what God's Word says I will do. I've determined that I will lay aside and leave behind that which holds on to me, that which enslaves me. Because Jesus said, he that commits sin is a servant of sin. He's a slave to sin, right? Many of you know what I'm talking about. You've had the experience. In fact, you're in struggle with that very experience. That you do not rule over sin and your desires, the affections that you have, they rule over you. There's one thing. There's one way out. Only one way. And that is to resolve that all is given to the Lord Jesus. What is His, and I am His. And He is mine. And that one decision is the necessary thing. And so I'm going to have to leave off here. Can't finish up this morning. There's a lot more to be said there about faith. But I wanted to just mention in closing that there's an application to faith that must be carried out in the assurance of His Word, and that works are the product of faith. Now, once that decision is made, once that lordship has been relinquished from I will have my life as the way that I want it to I will submit myself to God, to His Word, to whatever He tells me to do. And when I understand that God's Word says this, I'm going to do it. That submission of those things is actually what produces the good work in your life. It will produce. Christ will produce in you what you cannot produce, you cannot fabricate, you cannot do on your own. And so I challenge you to make the application of faith in the assurance of God's Word. I've got one verse for you here. I know, Lori, that I've really messed up on the notes here. But just to make the point there and to close with the point, the work of faith is rewarded. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain." And we talked about earlier that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Your toil, your labor in the work of faith, the application of God's Word, the product, the produce of faith is not in vain. God, who is merciful and kind and gracious and good, tells you that if you will be my soldier, if you will labor on my behalf, if I can entrust my plans, my purposes to you, if you will take that journey, I will reward you. Your toil, your labor will not be in vain. Do you believe it? Do you believe it this morning? I want to just give you an opportunity. I realize that usually we don't have an invitation, that type of thing. There's always an invitation from God's Word, a response. But we have some leadership here on Tommy Jenkins, Pastor Hager, and myself. And there may be some things that you're dealing with that you need to deal with once for all. It may be that you need an opportunity just to sit with someone and pray with someone and say, "I want to make that decision. I want to take that step. That I will follow. I will pursue His Word. I will submit for the first time in my life to the authority of God's Word and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I want to make that commitment in my life." And if you're one of those persons, if God is calling you in that way to make that first-time decision, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about a commitment to go on as a body of people in the unity of God's Word and in the unity of faith in the body here. And if you would like to speak with someone, and we have deacons and other men in the church here that would be very capable of counseling and praying with you. So don't leave this place for this morning if God has moved that way in your heart and life. Deal with the business that God wants you to deal with and look with faith out on 2012 for a bright and beautiful future that God has for His people, that we might be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we might be the ministers of reconciliation, reconciling others to God. Their God, their Creator, their Redeemer is the calling that He has placed on each one of our lives. We all have a part in it. So let's pursue it for the new year. Father, thank You for Your mercies. We love You, Lord God, and we give You all the praise and the honor and glory that rightfully belong to You. We worship You this morning with the praise of our lips. We acknowledge that You are God. We repudiate our flesh and that which would put itself on the throne and seek after its own purposes. And Lord, we ask that it might be crucified by faith in Jesus Christ and put to death there, that we might move on with You and serve You with all of our strength and heart and mind and soul, and that we might be faithful servants, that You might be able to find us trustworthy with the things that You would entrust to us and give to us in light of Your work and the labor that needs to take place here. God, cause us to be faithful. Help us to move as a unified front of people and to Your calling and purposes for 2012. Guide us, Lord. We don't know the unknown future. We've put a calendar together and made some plans, but we need for You to lead us, to give us wisdom, and to guide us through this year for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayer and grant our desire, for You have set it in our heart, and it is You that labor, that we might strive according to Your power, which mightily works within us. God, set Your Spirit in the hearts of Your people. Give us a passion as we go out. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.